John the Baptist looked out and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." For the good Jew, this proclamation would have exploded in their minds. They would have immediately remembered the Passover lamb. So 1,200 years before our Lord, the Jewish people were slaves in Egypt. God heard their cry. He remembered the covenant. He sent Moses. Moses performed those different signs, and yet Pharaoh remained hard-hearted. The final sign would be God telling Moses, "Tell the people, take a one-year-old, unblemished male lamb, sacrifice the lamb, paint the doorposts and the lintel with the blood of the lamb, roast it and eat it with unleavened bread, but get ready. You're going on a journey." That night, the angel of death passed over the homes protected by the blood, but took the life of the firstborn of those unprotected by the blood of the Lamb. Because of that sacrifice, the Jewish people were set free. They went from the land of slavery to a new land, the promised land, the land of life. Along the way, remember, Moses stops at Mount Sinai. He's called up to the mountain. God presents to him the Ten Commandments and the other laws, thereby renewing the covenant, but also giving that guidance, that law, by which to live life rightly in relationship with God, to live that life of union with God. So the Jewish people settled. How sad, though, when we look through the history of the Jewish people. Within 200 years, though, having been in that promised land, they turn to false gods. They forget the covenant. They break the commandments. Yet God still loved, and he promised to send a Messiah. But who would that be? Isaiah prophesied, "Our infirmities he will bear, our sufferings he will endure. He will be pierced for our offenses and crushed for our sins. Upon him is the chastisement that makes us whole. By his stripes we will be healed. We have gone astray like sheep, each following his own way. But the Lord will lay upon him the guilt of us all, like a lamb led to slaughter." Jesus comes as that new Passover lamb. So the Father so loved us, he sent his Son. And Jesus, true God, became true man, taking on our human condition to show us how to live in God's love. Yes, by his word as well as his deeds, he showed us God's truth perfectly. He revealed that perfectly. He heals the woundedness of this world. He forgives sins. In the climax, though, he goes to the cross. There we see the priest who offered himself as that lamb of sacrifice on the altar of the cross. By his blood, we have been reconciled with the Heavenly Father. By his blood, our sins forgiven. By his blood, the new, perfect covenant has been made. Unlike the Passover lamb, though, Jesus rose. He rose on Easter, and he ascended into heaven, thereby giving us the hope and promise of everlasting life for those who follow the Lamb. Now, this isn't just nice theology, and it's not simply a historical recounting of events. This is a cosmic reality, as Pope John Paul II said. When St. John, in the book of Revelation, has this vision of heaven, he sees the Heavenly Father on his throne, surrounded by all the angels and saints, and in front is the altar on which rests the Lamb of God, our Savior. And St. John hears the angels saying, "Lamb of God that was slain to receive honor, glory, and praise, worthy is the Lamb." And he hears the Heavenly Father saying, "Satan was defeated by the blood of the Lamb." So my brothers and sisters, this cosmic event, we must not forget, happens here at this Mass. We're here to worship God, not to be spectators. We are here then to be fed by God's living word, his truth. But then we're here to offer and to participate in the sacrifice of the Lamb. In just a few minutes, the priest, who shares in the priesthood of Christ through the sacrament of holy orders, does what Jesus did. He offers bread and wine. This sacrifice sacramentally represents in an everlasting way the reality of our Lord's passion, death, resurrection, and ascension. That bread and wine is transubstantiated in the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. So we truly say before receiving communion, Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. The priest says, as he holds up the sacred host and the cup of precious blood, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Yes, Christ comes to enter our human condition again. He comes to share his life with us. But we have to give of ourselves. Part of this Mass is our sacrifice. Remember, the priest says, pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. We're called to enter into that life union with our Lord. As such, we're called, especially receiving the Holy Eucharist, to take on that identity of the Lamb, to proclaim the truth of our Lord, to reconcile sinners, to heal the woundedness of this world. So what is the sacrifice going to be? What does it mean? Well, I remembered a story, actually a story of my seminary life. An old priest came to give us our spring retreat. Now, this is years ago, long before Father Farrell was even born. And I believe the priest's name was Father Comey. Well, Father Comey told the story about how he had been assigned, he was a Jesuit, how he had been assigned to a small Catholic parish, it was like a missionary parish, outside of Selma, Alabama. There he ministered to a small congregation because Catholics were the minority, especially back then, and African-American Catholics were truly the minority. So he had this small parish. He said it was very frustrating because in 1964, the Civil Rights Act had been passed, ending segregation. But he said not much had changed. He still saw the difference in races, how they were treated. There was still frustration over voting rights. He was also frustrated by just the mentality of people, including in his own congregation. Many would comment and say, oh, well, that's the law. We should just follow the law. That's the way it is. Who am I to impose my morality on someone else? That's just the way it is. Same arguments are used today to justify evil actions. Nevertheless, in March of 1965, he heard that there was going to be a march on March the 7th. And this march would take place from Selma and go all the way 50-some miles to Montgomery, the state capital. And this was a protest march, peaceful though, that was to speak about racial equality, the end of segregation, and voting rights. So he thought he would participate. That was his role, even though, as a white Catholic priest, he truly would be in the minority. So they assembled and they started the march. And they're to cross the Edmund Pettus Bridge that Sunday morning. Well, at the other end of the bridge, along Highway 80, was the state police and others too. The state police said, disperse, go back. Instead, the marchers continued on. The state police charged with their clubs and their tear gas and their dogs. All of a sudden, it was mayhem. Well, Father Comey said that he saw this one poor woman who had been hit with a club on her head. She was bleeding. She was on the ground. He thought she might be trampled to death. So he's helping her. He bent over. And a white officer came up to him and said, what are you doing here, Catholic priest? Go home. And hit him with a club right on his head. Nevertheless, he got up and helped that woman to safety. He then realized, though, he had to get back to his parish. It was evening, time now, it was late afternoon. He had the evening mass. So he runs back to his parish. The sacristan says, "Father, you need to go to the bathroom and look at yourself. You're a mess." He said, "I don't have time. We're already late for mass." So he goes into mass with his vestments and so on. And as he's saying the words of consecration over the chalice, "This is my blood, which will be shed for you," a big chunk of dried blood from his own head fell into that chalice. And Father Comey told us seminarians, he said, that's when he really realized, as a priest, he's called to be that Lamb of God, that he's called to be the victim for Christ. He was called to shed his blood for the Lord. So my brothers and sisters, at this Mass, we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to put in the chalice today? What will be our sacrifice? Now, for some of you I know, maybe this week you had to defend the faith to someone, to present arguments. And if you did so, God bless you instead of just keeping your mouth shut. That's what you put into the chalice this Sunday. Or some of you may have come home from work, and instead of just sacking out, you helped your spouse do some of the chores, helped the kids with their homework, especially religious homework, knelt down with the kids to pray, instead of watching the television, surfing the internet, being absorbed in the cell phone. That's what you put in the chalice. Or some of you had to go to school, and you had to say, "Nope, I'm not going to cheat or lie for another student. I'm not going to use bad language, even though I may be mocked for that. I'm not going to do the drugs or drink the alcohol or have the sex, even though I might be ridiculed for that." Well, that's what you put in the chalice. That's your sacrifice. Maybe you're bearing your own hurts. Maybe there's problems in your own life. Could be financial, social, medical problems. That's what you offer to the Lord. That's what you put in the chalice. But know that that sacrifice heals the woundedness of this world. That sacrifice makes the love of Christ known in this world. Moreover, by receiving Holy Communion, we know that our sacrifice is not simply spent like the old Passover lamb. Christ shares with us his life to give us his love, his strength, his hope to continue on this week. The real challenge is that in this world where we're surrounded by the idea of the selfie, and everything seems to be posted on Facebook these days, and people are trying to figure out who I am, what I want to be, what I want to be, we're called to be the Lamb of God, to unite our life with our Lord. May God help us when we leave here, so that when people look at us, they say about us, "Look, there's the Lamb of God. There's the one who follows Christ." May God bless you.